Well, welcome back again this week as we resume proceedings in our virtual courtroom. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and thankfully I'm not speaking to you as a kitten, as you might have seen this week from a Zoom clip. But I have been presenting to you evidence about who Jesus is. And remember, as the jury, I hope you have had a chance to deliberate and to digest some of what was presented about Jesus last week. What significance it has for each of us in our lives if we accept or if we reject these things. We heard last week that Jesus is the light of the world. We heard that he is the Son of Man from heaven. And the only two logical conclusions are to follow him or not, and to believe in him or not. So let's look at our passage for today. We're looking at John chapter 8 from verse 31 to verse 59. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you that I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honour my Father, and you dishonour me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham." "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Well, let's take a moment to pray and ask for God's help as we look at this passage together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can read it so freely. Thank you that we can think about it for a little while now. And we pray that you'd teach us, you'd encourage us, and you'd help us. Use these words by your Spirit, Lord, to change us and to help us to see the truth about Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to discover the truth about who Jesus is, and we must reach a verdict. The truth about people is often what is most intriguing, what is true or not true about a person. We thought a little bit last week about fake news or stories or the truth. But the truth about a person is often most interesting. Maybe you've played an icebreaker game before called Two Truths and a Lie. It's an interesting way to get to know someone, but we want to know what is the truth and what is not. When we hear these facts about people, we're intrigued to hear what's the truth and what's not. So see if you can guess what's true about me. My first fact is I have an irrational fear of wasps. My second fact is that I love Marmite, especially on toast. And my third fact is the first instrument that I learned to play was a ukulele. So those are my three facts. See if you can work out which ones are true. Those are the options. You can decide what you think, and I'll maybe tell you at the end. But these aren't very important facts, but you might still be intrigued to know the truth, but it won't affect you. But that's the difference with Jesus. We can't just ignore him. What we do with Jesus really matters. So we must find out who he is and what does that mean, because it has an impact for our lives. As the jury, you must decide. So let's go straight to our third piece of evidence following on from last week. So the third piece of evidence is that Jesus is the truth from the Father. Maybe you've struggled with feeling unsure about all of this. Is Jesus really the light of the world? And is he really the Son of Man from heaven? Maybe at some point in your life you've struggled about whether God is real. You have doubts about who he is. Is Jesus really is who he says he is? Well, we can take assurance here in what we believe that it is true. Look at verse 31 again. It says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus' teaching is true. If you hold to his teaching, then you will know the truth. So we must hold on to it because it is true. And when we're holding on to Jesus' teaching, to the truth, that truth will set us free. Pick it up in verse 34. It says, Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The truth of Jesus' words brings freedom. Freedom from sin's penalty, freedom from guilt, freedom to follow him, love him, enjoy being in his family. What do you imagine when you think of the word freedom? Maybe you think, no more exams, no more essays to hand in. What if you're looking forward to finishing school forever? Or it's the start of your 2-week holiday from work. Or you've paid off that loan, or finally your mortgage. Or maybe you've retired and you never have to go into the office again. We get that feeling of freedom. Well, that's what Jesus offers, but not just in a temporary or diminishing way, but an eternal and a complete freedom. Not just from exams or from work, from stress, but freedom from guilt, from suffering and sin. Complete freedom. That's what he offers. That's what knowing the truth about Jesus offers. But the Jews, they're not happy again. They say, well, we've never been slaves to anyone in verse 33. Maybe they'd forgotten they were slaves in Egypt, or that they'd forgotten being taken into captivity by the Babylonians, or maybe they even forgot that the Romans were ruling over them even as they spoke. Maybe there was a bit of national pride being hurt. But we see things really beginning to heat up between Jesus and the Jews. Look again at verse 37. It says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Jesus is making it really clear that not only are these people not the children of Abraham, which would have been an insult enough for them, he's telling them that they are children of the devil. This is why they're not accepting him, because they do not belong to God. We see that in verse 47. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God. They did not belong to God. Jesus is telling the truth. They can't prove him to be a sinner, but yet they still don't believe him. So those who hear and accept what God is saying belong to the Father. But those who don't, they don't belong to God. And it's the same today. I'm sure you might have come up against people who completely disagree with what you're saying. Maybe they say you're small-minded. Generally, the attitude today is that there are many roads to God, many roads to heaven. But when people do not hear and accept these truths, it shows that they do not belong to God yet. And that's our prayer, that we would hope that people do see, they do hear, and that the Father would work in their lives to draw them. So Jesus is the truth from the Father. So our next conclusion, if Jesus is the truth from the Father, is that we need to hold on to his teaching or forget about it. We need to hold on to his teaching or forget all about his teaching. We see in these verses that if we hold on to Jesus' teachings, we really are his disciples. That's what following Jesus means, holding on to his teaching. We've been given his word, and in it we can read and explore and discover the teachings of Jesus. And we have to hold firm to it. No matter what our friends tell us about life, or the impression that social media gives that the people we need to be, or the story that the news tells us of what our world is like, Jesus' teaching is what is true. Everything that we look at needs to be filtered through his teaching, and we must hold fast to it. Teaching that tells us that life has meaning, that people have inherent value, that there is a path to happiness, to eternal joy and fulfillment. And it's available in Jesus. We might hear other stories, other narratives from our world, that the path to happiness is material gain, or it's in relationships, or it's in being healthy and fit and living a long life. Or maybe that you have it in yourself to be a better person. Or our world blurs the line between right and wrong. We need to hold on to the truths that we have in Jesus. Hold on to his teaching. In his word, in his divinity, in his love for us, in his death and in his resurrection, in his presence with us in hard times, in his purpose that he has given to us, in the way he wants us to live, we need to hold on to these truths, the truths of Jesus' teaching. The only worldview that makes sense, the only thing that makes sense of our life is Jesus. That gives everything meaning and purpose. Our value is in Jesus. He is the truth from the Father. But what about our outcomes? So, well, if we hold on to his teaching, well, this brings freedom. But if we forget his teaching, if we ignore it, If we don't hold on, this just leads to slavery. And this is how we are by nature. Simply by being human, we are slaves to sin. And slavery is an awful stain in our history books. And sadly, even today, in some places where people are bought and sold, where people's rights are taken away, they cannot live as they want to, but are under the control of a master or owner. That's what it's like with us. Except our master is sin. We can't live how we want to, but we are under the control of our master called sin. No matter how hard we try to be good, to do what is right, even just to live up to our own expectations, we will fail. And it's because of sin. We're not free. We can't break free from sin's control. We are slaves to sin. And if we ignore Jesus' teaching, this is what we can look forward to. A future of slavery to the master called sin. No way to break out, no way to be free, and a destiny that means being excluded from God's family and remaining a slave to sin forever. But if we hold to Jesus' teaching, we will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is a way to be free, to throw off the shackles of slavery and to be welcomed into the family of God. And the comparison that John uses here is that of a slave serving in a family. The slave is owned by the family, but they're not part of the family. But he says that the son belongs to the family forever. When we hold to the truth about Jesus, we go from being slaves to being welcomed into the family itself. And we're given the status of sons and daughters. The devastation of sin, the power, the control, the guilt, they're all overcome because we've been welcomed into the family and God's Spirit begins to powerfully work in our lives. And we can have this true and lasting freedom in Jesus, starting now and forever into eternity. So are you going to hold on to Jesus' teaching and experience the freedom of being a son or daughter of God? Or will you ignore it all and simply resign yourself to being a slave to sin? So Jesus is the truth from the Father. We must hold on to his teaching. So our fourth and final piece of evidence is Jesus is the I Am. Jesus has saved the most powerful and controversial argument to last in this discussion with the Jews. Like the skilled lawyer who argues his case convincingly, but yet has an ace up his sleeve, the final hammer blow to prove his case. That final piece of evidence that will win the case without question. Jesus is the great I Am. Let's look at our passage again. We see in verse 48, we see the people resort to irrational, insulting arguments. Maybe you can relate. Let's look at verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father and you dishonor me." Samaritan, demon-possessed. Maybe you've been called worse. Well, the Samaritan, this was an insult because of the fierce dislike between Jews and Samaritans. And then they were labeling him as someone possessed by an evil spirit. For example, it's like, from what I understand, Canadians hate being called American. Or I know Scottish people, they love being called English, as far as I know. But they knew he wasn't a Samaritan. He was known to be Jewish. His lineage was even from King David. It was there to be checked by anyone who wanted to. So this was getting towards muckslinging insults. Well, let's keep going. And as we move towards the climax of this heated encounter, look at verse 49. Sorry, verse 50. Jesus says, "I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this, they exclaimed, "Now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Another amazing claim from Jesus. Anyone who obeys his word will never see death. How can he say this? That's just how the Jews respond. They really don't like this. "Who do you think you are? Abraham died. Are you saying that you are greater than our father Abraham? Who do you think you are?" Well, let's just see who Jesus says that he is. Let's pick it up in verse 56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You're not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham." "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." He was claiming the divine name for himself, the name I Am. This was a name that the Lord had revealed to the people of Israel long, long ago. The name Yahweh or Jehovah. God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. And when Moses said, "If the people ask who sent me, what will I say?" And God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." This name that the Lord God had revealed to his people is now being claimed by Jesus. And the people here, they knew it. They were so angry. They picked up stones to kill Jesus. He was claiming to be God. But we see that Jesus slipped away. It wasn't his time yet to die. And he was able to hide from this angry mob. This is the sort of man that commands obedience and can offer life in return. The man who is God. So the final piece of evidence, Jesus is I Am. The all-powerful God over all things. So what about our final conclusion? Well, you must obey him. We see in verse 51, Jesus says, "Whoever obeys my word will never see death." Jesus, as the Almighty God, over all the universe, deserves our complete obedience. As the one who created all things, he deserves obedience. And in fact, obedience really only makes sense when it's to the one who created all things. He's the one who deserves obedience above anybody else as the creator God. And we're not obeying a tyrant or dictator or a madman. It is obedience to a loving, caring, righteous and compassionate man. A man who is God, Jesus. And there's lots of ways that we could think about obeying Jesus. Take a moment yourself today to think, how can you obey Jesus? Take a minute, take 2 minutes just to think, how can I obey Jesus today? When you're kind to your brother, or you share something, a game or a toy with your sister. When you're patient with your family or your friends. When you speak kindly to your spouse, you are obeying Jesus. When we stay away from inappropriate jokes or content on social media, or when we post things that are true and helpful, we're obeying Jesus. We can obey him or disobey him in all these kinds of ways. When we demonstrate Jesus' love to others in our words or actions, we are obeying him. So take a moment today to think about areas in your life where you need help obeying. Think, Lord, where do I need that bit of help? And ask him to help you to obey the great I am. And if you're not sure where you need to grow in obedience, think love. Jesus showed his immense love for us on the cross, and he calls his followers to show that love to others. So we want to be people who love, who demonstrate Jesus's love through the way that we live. So what about our outcomes to this obedience to the great I am, the powerful God? Well, these outcomes are actually very simple. Obey Jesus and you will never see death. This is the path to life. And life as it was meant to be. Life in perfect harmony with God and with each other. In a place where we can express all that we're meant to be, our creativity, where we can work without toil, where we can enjoy relationships and God's creation perfectly and forever in the new creation that we're looking forward to. Obedience to Jesus is the path to life. Though our bodies die, this is only temporary. We can look forward to being raised up and live in God's perfect and renewed world. Obey Jesus and you will never see death, only life. Well, the other outcome is also very simple. Don't obey and you will only see death. This life is not all that there is. There is more than what we see. And if we continue to disobey Jesus, the path is not towards life forever, but death is the only destination. A future of being separated from God and from his family forever. But remember, you are the jury. You must decide. John has presented us with the evidence about who Jesus is in our passage from this week and from last. We saw that Jesus is the light of the world. He's the Son of Man from heaven. Jesus is the truth from the Father. Jesus is the great I am. There were arguments for and against between Jesus and the Jews. Jesus was rebuffed as not having a valid testimony, as being a Samaritan, as being demon-possessed, and even as a blasphemer. But none of it stands up. There can be no other conclusion from this evidence about who Jesus is. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. But you're the jury, and you must decide for yourselves. Will you follow? Will you believe in him? Will you hold fast to his teaching? And will you obey him? Will you do all of these things and what that means for your life? Because it will transform how we live and give us hope for an incredible future that lies ahead. You must decide. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for recording these things about your son Jesus so that we can read them today, that we can learn about him, we can see these different truths about who he is and how he has worked in this world. We thank you for these wonderful truths, that he is the truth from you, Father, and that he is the great I am. He himself is God. Lord, help us to take on board what that means for our lives, not to ignore these things. And even, Lord, if we have accepted them, not just to forget them, but to take to heart these truths that you're teaching us about. To respond in every part of our lives to how you want us to live. Help us, Lord, with obedience. Show us ways that we can obey you and serve you as we have responded to you as the great I am. Help us, Lord, in the coming weeks to be great witnesses for you in hard times that we experience. Lord, help us to keep living for you and encourage us, Lord, by your Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.